ولأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين ذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. واللانة الدائمة الباقية لعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. صلوات الله. We have gathered tonight, this evening, to celebrate the birth anniversary of a very important personality in the Shia faith, the one who is known as the Lion of Ali, the hero of Karbala, the flag bearer of Hussein, the beloved brother of Zainab, and the loving uncle of Sakina, by the name of Abbas bin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Abbas for us symbolizes brotherhood, courage, and loyalty. Especially when it comes to the concept of loyalty and wafa to Imam Hussein and the family of Hussein, it reached to the highest peak, to the extent that if you look at the Urdu, Farsi, and Arabic literature that I'm familiar with, and it could be in other languages also, the name of Abbas has become kind of a synonym of loyalty. And this is where, you know, we see the importance of Abbas in that way. But tonight I would like to talk about the concept of brotherhood. It is a very noble concept in Islam. We use the term ukhuwa or biradari when we talk about the concept of brotherhood in Islam. There are basically two ways of looking at it. One is a more spiritual, universal concept of brotherhood, and one is personal, based on the family relationships. When it comes to the universal, you know, perspective of that, we have to realize that there can be three circles of brotherhood on the level of humanity, on the level of Muslim Ummah, and on the level of the Shia of Ali. The minimum expectation that Islam has from us, or if I may put it this way, the minimum expectation that Shia Islam has from us on these three levels of relationship, you know, I can explain that by a chart that I have used in my book, Islam, Faith, Practice, and History, which was published in Iran. And we'll see that on the screen. If you look at the largest circle there, you have this circle of humanity. And basically, if you look at, then you have the second circle of the Muslim Ummah, and then you have the level of the Shia of Ali. When it comes to the wider circle, we do not live in a planet of the Muslims or Shias only. You know, we have many, many people who live with us, you know, in billions. And this is where we have to realize that when we talk about our relationship, Islam has certain expectations from us that how do you interact with the people who are not part of the Islamic faith. We are not talking about enemies. We are not talking about those who are fighting against you. We are talking about those who are normal. They don't bother you. You know, their Islam basically is asking us that the minimum expectation is insaf. Be fair and just with them. You know, Amir al-Mu'minin, when he sent his companion Malik Ashtar to Egypt as a governor, he wrote an epistle which is known as the Epistle of Governance. And there he says to Malik Ashtar that, remember, you're going to a region where there are people of different religions, not only Muslims. And there he uses a term where he says, remember, inculcate this sense of compassion and mercy towards your citizens, because they are of two kinds. Imma akhun laka fid deen, either they are your brethren in faith, أو نظير لك في الخلق, or they are like you in creation, like human, just human beings. And so that is where we use the term insaf, as far as you know, the minimum expectation which is there for us when we deal with the broader, you know, humanity. Then you have the second circle of the Muslim Ummah. There the term, you know, would be infaq. Infaq means charity. Remember, yeah, last night we talked about this issue about muttaqeen. وَمِمَّا رَضَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. They do infaq. They are charitable. And so when it comes to the issue of Muslims, the expectation is even above that, not just being fair and just, be charitable towards them. And then, and this is where, you know, the ayat of Surah Hujarat, Surah number 49, comes in. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةٌ. The believers are all brethren of one another. And there are certain expectations, you know, you should maintain peace with one another, you should respect one another. All these rulings that we have in Surah Hujarat, which says, you know, do not call them names, do not insult them, do not have suspicion towards them, do not do ghibat. All these things are there, part of this relationship of the Muslims with one another. Then we come to the Shia level, where the expectation is ithar. That you have to go even beyond the level of charity, you have to go to the level of sacrifice for one another. Now in English we don't have that luxury, but in Urdu and Farsi and Arabic we can use the same rhythm there. Insaf, infaq, and isar. All starts with alif, it's easy to remember it. So remember that insaf when it comes to non-Muslims, infaq when it comes to Muslims who are not Shia, and when it comes to Shias, it is the expectation of ithar, the willingness to sacrifice for one another. Salawat pranayak para. But then if we go on to the literal meaning of the brotherhood, in the context of family relationship, we are talking about biological relationship, and those who come from the same parents. In Islam, there is a term for that. In Quran, silatul rahim. Sila means connection. Silatul rahim means connection through the womb. All of those who come from the same mother, they are linked to one another. Mother is the central point of the relationship. So silatul rahim, though the ties with the womb. And so we are talking about blood relationship, and this is something so important that, you know, Islam has talked about it quite a lot. There are many, many ayat in Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about importance of silatul rahim. Many, many ayat that he actually condemns the opposite of that, which is known as qita'ur rahim. You know, cutting the ties with those who are related to you by the womb. And if you look at the numbers of ayat, the numbers talking about silatul rahim and qat'ur rahim totally are more than the ayat talking about family relationships, about namaz. So maintaining ties with the family relatives and not severing that ties is more important as far as the number of ayat is concerned than the ayat which is there about namaz. And this is where we have to realize that Islam really gives great importance to it. However, there is always a challenge there. I'm related to somebody, a relative of mine, for example, and then he's asking me to do something where now I see there is a tension. He is my relative, my brother, my cousin. He's asking me to do something which is not allowed in my faith. What do I do now? Just because he's my brother, I listen to what he is saying or helping out in that way? Or do I have to be firm there and say, well, this is not allowed? So silatul rahim is very important. But the challenge is there that if you find yourself in a tension between what your Lord is asking you to do and what your relative is asking you to do, you have to choose the path of Allah, Rasul, and the Quran and the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimu salatu wassalam. Salawat pranayi para. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, when we talk about silat ar-rahim, relationship between, you know, siblings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has talked about silat ar-rahim in general. But then when it comes to examples, he mostly talks about negatives. And the reason why he does it, that he has created this love for one's brother or sister or relatives in our nature. Things which are there already placed by Allah in our nature, he doesn't need to say. He doesn't have to say, make sure you eat and drink, otherwise you will die. If there is no ayat in Quran which says, kulu washrabu, you will still be eating and drinking. Because you can't survive without that. That is the nature that Allah has created within us. Even that ayat which says, kulu washrabu, eat and drink, is actually not talking about eating and drinking. It says, wala tusrifu, do not waste. And so the emphasis is not on really in eating and drinking. It is more about emphasis that don't do israf. So there are many things, you know, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves it to nature. For example, very rarely you will see in Quran, Allah talks about mothers, make sure you take care of your children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't even say that because it's in the nature of mother, the way Allah has created that nature. So when it comes to the issue of, you know, relationship within the family, Quran doesn't really have to specify that. But when it comes to the situations where Allah knows there would be tension, this is where he comes and gives examples. For example, on the negative side, you will see the very first example of siblings, brothers who were wrong to, or at least one was wrong to the other, is the example of Qabil killing his brother, Habil. And they were full brothers. It's not even an issue of step-brothers. No. And then you have the example of, in Surah Yusuf, the example of brothers. There were step-brothers who wanted to get rid of Yusuf. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had different plans for Yusuf. You know, they tried their best, but they failed in that. So on the scale of 0 to 10, we will put the Qabil at 0, and the brothers, step-brothers of Yusuf at 3, on the positive side. But then on the other side, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even talks about the brothers who were very close to one another, and they were very helpful to one another. Can I request the brothers to move a little bit more? There is some more space here. Coming to the positive side of the example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Prophet Musa alayhi salam and Prophet Isa alayhi salam. In Surah Taha, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appointed Musa as a Rasul now, he was a Nabi from before, but now the Risalat starts. His mission is going to begin. And so he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, help me. And one of the things he says, waj'al li, this is in Surah Taha, ayat number 29 to 32, waj'al li waziran min ahli. O Allah, appoint for me a minister from my own family. Wazir means the second in command. You are the king and then you have the wazir, the minister. Whom is he talking about? He is specifying now. He says, O Allah, appoint for me a wazir from my own family, Harun Akhi. Specifically, I'm talking about my brother, Harun. Washdud bihi azri. Through him, strengthen my back. you know, give me power through him, وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي, and make him partner in my mission. So I'm not alone, he is going to be my partner in this work. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds by saying that, yes, I have appointed your brother as your wazir, and, you know, he will be your support for you, and he will be your partner in this work. We see later on in history, when you look at the relationship between Rasulullah and Amir al-Mu'mineen, you see the same extension of brotherhood coming in there. In the very first formal declaration of the faith, where the Prophet was inviting his own extended family, Banu Hashim, in Da'wat Zul-Ashira, how does he present Ali there? He says, هذا أخي ووصي وخليفتي. That is, Ali is my brother, and he is my wasi, who will take care of my issues after me, and he is my khalifa, my successor. And you know, our Muslim brothers, people like even Tabari, for example. I don't know, he did it, or the publishers have done it later on. You know, when they quote this whole event, when it comes to this statement, they say, the Prophet said, هذا Ali, this Ali is, هذا أخي وكذا وكذا. You know what is kada wa kada mean? Means, you know, this Ali is my brother and so and so and so and so. But that so and so is the more important one. Even if he didn't write akhi, we know he's akhi of Rasulullah. The more important, crucial words were when he said wasi wa khalifati. But they wanted to kind of hide that and just leave the word akhi over there. So we see that even in the famous hadith that the Prophet has, he actually links that relationship as two brothers close to one another, like Musa and Harun, when he was going to Tabuk, and he leaves Ali behind in Medina. And Ali says, you know, Ya Rasulullah, you're leaving me with women and children. You know, I'm needed more in the battlefield. And Rasulullah said, there's a reason why I'm leaving you behind, because there was a danger from the hypocrites in the absence of the Prophet. There was a danger for Medina itself. And that's where Rasulullah says to Ali, that are you not pleased that your position and your manzilat to me is like that of Harun to Musa? The only difference is that there is no Nabi after me. Whereas Musa was a Nabi and Harun was also Nabi. So we see the positive examples also in the Quran as well as in the seerah of the Prophet about this closeness between the brothers who are not only related to one another, but they are in sync as far as their faith and belief is concerned. Salawat Manik Barah. We can extend that example later on when you look at the example of Abbas and Hussein. So you have that example of Musa and Harun, you have the example of Rasul and Ali, and then in the same theme you have the example of Hussein and Abbas. Just as Ali was fully devoted to serve the cause of his brother Rasulullah, to the extent of willing to take his place in the eve of Hijrat, even though he could have been killed. But still, his only question was when Rasulullah said, can you sleep in my bed so that I can leave without them noticing that my bed is empty? The only question Ali asked was that, Ya Rasulullah, will you be okay? Will your life still be saved? This is when Rasulullah said, yes, Ali did the sajda. And in history, that is first sajda shukr in Islam. Salawat Panek Bara. You go to the events of Karbala, you see the same total devotion in the personality of Abbas when it comes to the cause of his brother, to the extent of, you know, giving up his life. Not only his life, I think the most you know, important challenge that Abbas had was controlling his emotions. Not giving in to his emotions, you know, jazbaat or josh, nahi. He did whatever Hussein wanted. Even that, you know, meant that I have to do something where I might be killed, but that's fine. And so we see the similarity in that way. And so just as, you know, when you look at the example of Abbas in relation to Hussein is the example of Ali in relation to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After all, the Prophet himself had said, Husaynun minni wa ana min Husayn. When the Prophet is saying Husayn is from me and I am from Husayn. In Karbala, Husayn is there in place of Rasulullah. Wherever Rasulullah was there, Ali was there. Now you have somebody who represents Muhammad in Karbala. It cannot be that the representation of Muhammad be there and the support of Ali would not be there. That is... This is where you have Hussein there and Abbas, just as Rasul and Ali were together. This is not only physical relationship that we are talking about, that they belonged, you know, they were sons of the same father. No. This synchronization of family ties with religious values is a very important issue. And I would like to, you know, use this as an example. That on the eve of Ashura, when Shimr came in with his forces from Kufa, and he basically came with this message from Ibn Ziyad to Umar ibn Sa'd, who was the commander-in-chief. He says, you know, Ibn Ziyad is saying that why are you delaying this process? And if you cannot accomplish your mission, then hand over the command to me. And this is where, you know, Umar ibn Sa'd says, this is all you're doing. I was trying to resolve issues through a peaceful negotiation, but you are the fitna in between. But I will not let you take over the command. I will do what I'm supposed to do. And this is where he started the preparation for the attack. And this is where Imam Hussein al-Islam was, when he was informed, he sent Abbas with some other companions to go and ask them, what is the problem, what is the issue? And when he was told that it is the time, either you give in and do bayat, or we will fight. And so Hussein sends Abbas back and says to them, ask them for one more night. And so the battle was postponed till next morning. Later on in that evening, or late in early night, Shimr comes to the tent areas of Hussein and his companions. And from outside, he actually called them up loudly, addressing Abbas and his three other brothers. And the way he talked about them, and he called them, he said, where are the sons of my sister? Now, he was not really an uncle of Abbas, but because the mother of Abbas, Umul Banin, came from the Kilabiyya tribe, and Shimr also belonged to the Kilabiyya tribe. So he's talking about the tribal relationship, not really a family relationship. So he says, where are the sons of my sister? Imam Hussein alayhi salam looked at Abbas. Abbas was silent. He didn't want to respond. Imam said, well, he's calling you. At least go and see. Listen to what he has to say. So Abbas and his brothers, all three of them, you know, went outside. And then Shimr says, you know, I would like to offer you life as opposed to death. When I came from Kufa, I got an amnesty certificate for you and your three brothers. Why don't you leave Hussein and come with me? I have the Aman Nama, you know, the amnesty letter. What was the response of Abbas at that time? He says to Shimr, La'anak Allah wa la'ana amanak. You know, may Allah keep all his mercy away from you and your Aman Nama that you have brought here. Atu'minuna, aren't you ashamed that you are giving protection and amnesty to us? Wala amana li ibn Rasulillah. But there is no protection for the son of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is where you come to realize it's not Ali, Abbas, and Hussein as a brother. He is looking at Hussein as the son of the Prophet from Ali Rasul. And he says, aren't you ashamed that you have an Aman Nama for me and my brothers, but there is no, you know, certificate of protection for the grandson of Rasulullah. And this is where then he and his brothers all came back into the tent. And this is what I would like to, you know, talk about it. That the message that we actually should learn from Abbas and his response to Shimr is very important. And I'll go to the point I made earlier, that our family ties are very important, but not at the expense of our faith. You know, sometimes we have difficulties. We have situations where we are invited, which we know is religiously not okay. What do we do? Sometimes people come and say, Maulana, what can we do? It's my family. Doesn't Islam give importance to silatul rahim? And I say, yes. It gives importance. But then remember, there is a challenge there. If fulfilling the wish or the desire of a relative means violating the laws of Allah, Rasul, and the Imam, and the Quran, then you are not allowed to give in to that. Then that's where you have to draw the line. You know, in the Battle of Siffin, when Ammar bin Yasir was killed, he was a very close companion of Rasul and Ali. When he was killed by the forces of Muawiyah, and when the news spread in the Umayyad forces that Ammar Yasir has been killed, the Sahabi of Rasulullah, in the tent of Muawiyah, at that time was Amr ibn As, his advisor, and other, you know, colleagues of Muawiyah, supporters. And even the son of Amr ibn As by the name of Abdullah bin Amr ibn As. Abdullah was a young fellow during the days of the Prophet. But he was a literate fellow. He used to write down whatever he would hear from Rasulullah. So as soon as the news came to Muawiyah, and they were happy that Ammar has been killed, one of the, you know, big supporters of Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, when they were expressing their joy, Abdullah bin Amr ibn As said, I remember Rasulullah saying that, O Ammar, you will be killed by a rebellious group. It means we are a rebellious group by killing Ammar. Muawiyah looked at him. He was so angry. He turned to his father, Amr ibn As, and he says, O Amr ibn As, why don't you control your Majnoon? These are his words. Majnoon means your, you know, insane or lunatic son. Why don't you control him? Does he have to speak and say whatever he knows? He doesn't have to say that Rasulullah said that, you know, Ammar will be killed by a rebellious group. And then Muawiyah turned to Abdullah ibn Amr and says, if you really believe in this, why are you here? Why are you not on the other side? This is the point that I'm coming to. You know what Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As said to Muawiyah? He said, I am here because my father had asked me to be with you, and Islam says you should obey your father. Think about it. Somebody who knows the hadith of Rasulullah, somebody in his mind and heart knows that Muawiyah is on the wrong side. He's still there. When he's asked why you are here, the excuse is, oh, my father asked me to be here, and Islam says I have to follow my father. This is where he doesn't realize. Islam says you have to respect your father, you have to obey your father. But when your father is asking you to do something which is against the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is where the issue of respect and obedience come to the end. And this is where we have to realize, relationships are very important. We have to maintain, but not at the expense of the values that we have in Islam. When we talk about the ceremonies, mashallah, we start our ceremonies with hadith kisa. What do we talk about in that at the end? What is the sawab and ajr and a reward of reciting hadith kisa, the story of the family of the Prophet? Where we say that that this is a gathering, حَفَّتْ بِهِمِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels surround that gathering. Go to places where the angels are there. Don't go to the places where angels shun those kinds of gatherings. Doesn't matter who is there. Because we have to draw the line somewhere. And that is where we have to decide, are we with Allah and Rasul and the Imams, or with someone else? Salawat on the Akbar. Janabe Abu al-Fazl al-Abbas, agarche unwan jo hai Abu al-Fazl beta tha, Fazl ke naam se, lehaza unko Abu al-Fazl kehte the. Lekin agar beta bhi na hota to sahi maano mein Abbas Abu al-Fadail the, sahib-e-kamalat the. Unki zindagi aur unki seerat aur unke خصوصاً یہ شمر کے ساتھ جو مکالمہ ہوا ہے بہت اہم ہے جس سے اندازہ ہوتا ہے کہ انسان جو ہے چاہے تکلیف میں رہے لیکن اگر اپنا بھائی کوئی ہے تو یقیناً اس کی مدد کے لیے اس کی ہیلپ کے لیے جائے اسلام نے جتنی اہمیت دی ہے مثلاً رسول اسلام کی ایک حدیث ہے جہاں فرماتے ہیں امت کے بارے میں کہتے ہیں کہ امت کے افراد در حقیقت ایک باڈی کے پارٹ ہیں اگر تکلیف ایک انگلی میں ہوتی ہے پرابلم انگلی میں ہے چوٹ یہاں لگی ہے لیکن تکلیف جو ہے پورے جسم میں محسوس کرتے ہیں آپ تو رسول اسلام کہتے ہیں اگر امت میں کسی ایک گروپ یا فرد پر مصیبت آتی ہے تو پوری امت میں بھی احساس ہونا چاہیے they should do something to help them اب اس کو آپ لے آئیے فیملی ٹرمز پہ اگر آپ کو احساس ہو معلوم ہو کہ آپ کا بھائی ہے بہن ہے رشتہ دار ہے چچا ہے ان کو تکلیف ہے یا پرابلم ہے تو اخوت کا تقاضا ہے کہ you go not just to the level of being fair and just, not only to the level of being charitable, بلکہ تشیع کا تقاضا ہے کہ آپ ایثار اور قربانی کے لیول تک آگے بڑھیں. عباس کی مثال کو دیکھیں. عباس نے جو کیا ہے ایکچولی کال آف ڈیوٹی سے بھی اباؤ گئے ہیں اور اس لیے اس مثال کو ہمیشہ ذہن میں رکھا جائے. ہم لوگ کبھی کبھی جناب عباس سے بہت ڈرتے ہیں نہیں. ایرانیوں میں بھی یہ مسئل ہے کہ کوئی قسم کھاتا ہے کوئی وعدہ کرنا چاہتا ہے تو کہتے ہیں وہ قسم حضرت عباسی ہے حضرت عباس کے نام پہ قسم کھا رہے ہو اس لیے سب ڈرتے ہیں. کسی اور کے نام سے وہ اتنی فکر نہیں ہوتی ہے لیکن جناب عباس کے نام پہ قسم کھانا جو ہے لوگ گھبراتے ہیں. ہم لوگ بہرحال اس محبت میں آتے ہیں. محرم میں بھی جو مجلسیں ہوتی ہیں جتنا بجمع عاشور کے دن ہوتا ہے اس سے تھوڑا ہی کم جو ہے جناب عباس کے لیے جو ہم دن مخصوص کیا ہوا ہے. یہ احساس ہے, وہ احساس اگر ہے, وہ محبت ہے, تو ہمیں سوچنا چاہیے. ہمارے ہندوستان کے ایک شاعر نے بڑے بہت ہی خوبصورتی سے ایک جملہ کہا ہے جناب عباس کی سیرت کو ذہن میں رکھتے ہوئے, جن ہاتھوں سے بھائی کو سہارا نہ ملے, جن ہاتھوں سے بھائی کو سہارا نہ ملے ان ہاتھوں سے عباس کا ماتم نہ کرو. اگر عباس کا ماتم کرنا ہے تو کم سے کم اس ہاتھ کو اس قابل بناؤ کہ اپنے بھائی کی آپ مدد کر سکیں. صلوات پڑھنے پر آؤ. بھائی ایک دوسرے کے لیے سپورٹ ہوتے ہیں. موسیٰ و ہارون کی مثال ہم نے دی آپ کو کہ جہاں موسیٰ دعا کرتے ہیں خداوندہ ہمیں میرے بھائی کو وزیر بنا, اشدد بہ عذری, تاکہ میرے بیک کو تم اسٹرانگ کر سکو. رسول اسلام نے علی کے بارے میں بھی ایگزیکٹلی وہی الفاظ یوز کیے ہیں. رسول کی ایک روایت ہے جہاں فرماتے ہیں کہ اللہم ان اخی موسیٰ سألک, خداوندہ میرے بھائی موسیٰ, نبوت کے لحاظ سے برادر ہیں, میرے بھائی موسیٰ نے آپ سے دعا کی تھی کہ خداوندہ واجعل لی وزیرا من اہلی ہارون اخی واشدد بہ عذری واشرکہ فی امری. یہ جو دعا موسیٰ کی تھی. پھر محمد کہتے ہیں کہ خداوندہ ہم بھی اسی طرح سے دعا کرتے ہیں کہ میرے لیے بھی اللہم وعنا محمد نبیک وصفیک فاشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واجعل لی وزیرا من اہلی علیا اشدد بہ عذری. کہ خداوندہ میرا بھی وزیر بنا دے, میرے فیملی سے وزیر بنا دے علی کے عنوان سے, جو میری کمر کو مضبوط کر سکے, جو ہمارے لیے قوت بازو بن سکے. یہ ایکسپیکٹیشن ہے بھائیوں سے ایک دوسرے کے سلسلے میں. جب آپ جناب امام حسین علیہ السلام اور جناب عباس کے اس ریلیشن شپ کو دیکھتے ہیں, عجیب و غریب بات ہے, مصائب نہیں پڑھنا ہے لیکن ہمیں ملانا ہے موسیٰ اور ہارون اور محمد اور علی. جہاں موسیٰ نے ہارون کو اپنے پشت کے لیے قوت کا عنوان پہ استعمال کیا ہے, رسول نے علی کے لیے بھی یہ کہا ہے. جناب امام حسین علیہ السلام نے جب عباس نے آواز دی ہے گھوڑے سے گرنے کے بعد کیا کہا تھا, الان قد کثر ظہری, کہ میری کمر جو ہے, میری پشت جو ہے, مائی بیک بون از شیٹرڈ, اس لیے کہ میری قوت جو ہے وہ عباس میں تھی. اور یہی در حقیقت جناب عباس کا کمال ہے. اور اسی سیرت کو ذہن میں رکھتے ہوئے ہمیں عہد کرنا چاہیے جناب عباس کے نام پر کہ جہاں تک ہیلپ کرنے کی بات ہے, سپورٹ کرنے کی بات ہے, اپنے بھائی بہنوں کے سلسلے میں, رشتہ داروں کے سلسلے میں, ہمیں ایکٹیولی آگے بڑھنا چاہیے, دیکھنا چاہیے. یہ نہ ہو کہ وہ جو ہیں کبھی کبھی سیلف ریسپیکٹ کے خاطر, شرم کے خاطر آپ سے کچھ نہ کہیں. یو شوڈ بی ان دی آؤٹ, یو شوڈ بی آؤٹ دیر, کہ اگر انہیں ضرورت ہے, مدد ہے, تو آپ خود آگے بڑھیں. اور اسی میں صحیح معنوں میں ہم جناب عباس کی سیرت پر عمل کر سکتے ہیں. صلوات پڑھنے ایک بار اور. ہم نے آج کی اس تقریر میں حسین کو محمد کی جگہ قرار دیا کربلا میں, اور عباس کو علی کی جگہ. بس ہم ختم کرنا چاہیں گے صفدر ہمدانی کے ایک قطع ہے اس سلسلے میں, جہاں وہ فرماتے ہیں غازی نے بڑھ کے نہر پہ قبضہ جما لیا. غازی سے مراد عباس, دی فیمس واریئر. آگے بڑھ کے نہر پہ قبضہ جما لیا, پانی نے ان کے قدموں پہ خود کو گرا لیا. مشک سکینہ دوش پہ عباس کے تھی یوں, سکینہ کے مشک کو اپنے کندھے پہ رکھے تھے نا, مشک سکینہ دوش پہ عباس کے تھی یوں جیسے علی نے ہاتھ میں خیبر اٹھا لیا. علی کا وہ عمل خیبر میں عباس کا قبضہ فرات پہ اس لحاظ سے بالکل برابر ہے. اور کمال یہ ہے کہ عباس وہاں پہنچنے کے بعد بھی, اور یہی ہے جسے ہم لوگ کہتے ہیں بیونڈ دی کال آف ڈیوٹی, پانی تھا, شرعی اعتبار سے کوئی قباحت نہیں تھی عباس کے لیے, تین دن کے پیاس کی بات ہے, حسین کے لیے لڑنا ہے, اگر وہ پانی پی لیتے تو کوئی حرج نہیں تھا, شرعی اعتبار سے کوئی ان سے سوال نہیں کر سکتا ہے. لیکن شریعت کے احکام ایک جگہ ہوتے ہیں, محبت اور وفا کے تقاضے کچھ اور ہوتے ہیں, اور اس لیے وہاں عباس نہر پر قبضہ کرنے کے باوجود بھی ایک قطرہ بھی اپنے دہن میں نہیں رکھتے ہیں.
اس
لیے کہ عباس کے ذہنوں میں حسین کا چہرہ تھا اور سکینہ کا چہرہ تھا, اور اسی وفاداری کو ذہن میں رکھتے ہوئے اس بات کو ہمیشہ ذہن میں رکھیں کہ ہمیں وہ کرنا ہے اس وفاداری کے عنوان سے کہ جس مذہب کے لیے, جس دین کے لیے, جن ویلیوز کے لیے عباس نے تمام قربانیاں دی ہیں, ہم لوگ بھی انہی ویلیوز کو اپنی زندگی میں, اپنے فیملی لائف میں, اپنے تعلقات میں اس کو ہم زندہ و جاوید رکھیں. خداوند عالم کی بارگاہ میں دعا ہے, خداوند اس قلعہ بات قبول فرما, ہمارے گناہوں کو بخش دے, ہماری توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما, جہاں جہاں شیعان علی ہیں ان کو اپنے حفظ امان میں رکھ, تکفیری افواج کے تمام صلاحیتوں کو نیست و نابود فرما, امام کے ظہور میں تعجل فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انک انت السمیع العلیم.